As always, the Torah should read in the Nishmas Rugash and Rambar Yeh. This week we begin Sefer Shemois. There's no better place to begin Sefer Shemois than to begin with the Ramban at the beginning of Parshas Shemois. The Ramban tells us, and I'll share with you the words of the Ramban, Hishlim HaKosuv Sefer Bereishis Shehu Sefer HaYetzira. The Pasuk is finished. Sefer Bereishis, the Torah HaKadosh finishes Sefer Bereishis, which the Ramban says in Chazal, it sometimes refers to as the Sefer HaYetzirah, the Sefer of Creation. V'chidush ha'olam v'yetziras kol noitzer. It's about the fact that the world was created anew, and the creation of everything that was created. U'b'mikrei ha'ovis kulam. Part of that creation is also all the different things that happened to the Ovis HaKadoshim. Shehim ke'im yetzirah v'zara. Whatever happened to our forefathers was like a creation for their descendants. All the events that took place, everything that happened to the Ovis and the Emois, Siyure Devarim Lirmois Lohidia Kola Osid Lobe Lohem, was really a microcosm. It was a description of what would happen in a greater way to their descendants. That was Sefer Bereishis. Ba'afrei Shehishlim HaYetzira, once it's been finished, talking about the beginning of creation, the formation of the world, the forming of the world, then Hiskel Sefer Acher Be'inyan HaMaisa Haba Min HaRamoz Yomahim. We now begin the book that talks about the events that are a fallout or that were created by those original actions. V'nisyachin Sefer Ve'ele Shmoyz Be'inyan HaGolos HaRishon HaNigzor Be'Feirush. It's designated to talk about the original Golos that was there, U'beg'ulo Mimenu. It was predestined, that was told to Avraham Avinu in the time of the Bris Bin Avosorim, and our redemption from it. And therefore, that's why it says the Ramban, that's why the Torah reiterates, at the beginning of Parashat Shemois, it tells us all the names of the Shivtei Kol that went down to Mitzrayim, even though it already wrote this at the beginning of Parashat Vayigash, because it wants to tell us, Golos Mitzrayim began when Yaakov Ubon of Yordu Mitzrayim, Golos Mitzrayim began when the 210 years of Golos Mitzrayim begin with Yaakov descending to Mitzrayim with his family, and therefore that's why I repeated over here. V'hinei, says the Ramban, how long and for what time period does this Golos last? 210 years? More than that. V'hinei ha-Golos einenu nishlam ad yoim shuvam el mekoimam ve'el maidas avosim yashuvu. Says the Ramban, the Golos doesn't end, it doesn't terminate, until ad yoim shuvam el mekoimam, until they return to their place. We would have assumed that means Eretz Yisrael, but we may see differently. It doesn't finish until Shuvam El Makoimam Ve'El Malas Avoisam Yashuvah, and they return to the Darga, to the level of their ancestors. Kshiyotsumi Mitzrayim, explains the Ramban, even after Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, Avabi Shiyotsumi Beis Avodim Adayin Yechoshvu Goyim, even though they've left servitude, they've left the land of Mitzrayim, they are still not yet free. They're still goyim. They're still in a land that's not theirs. They're enclosed, they're ensnared, they're stuck, they're lost, they're confused in the Midbar. When they came to Har Sinai, received the Torah, and subsequently made the Mishkan, then they return to Midas Avosim. But only then. And that's why the Sefer Shmois begins with going down to Mitzrayim and ends with the construction of the Mishkan. Parshas Vayakel Pikudei is taking stock of the whole construction of the Mishkan. Why? Because that's Golos and that's Golos. How, by the fact that we built the Mishkan, did that make that we had returned El Mekoimam? El Malas Avosim, maybe. We returned to the level, the Madrega of Avos, I can understand. We had the Shekhinah with us. But that we've returned to Mekoimam, to their place. So there's a beautiful Ramban in Sefer Bereishis, where Yitzchak Avinu is told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's to live in Eretz Yisrael, to sojourn in Eretz Yisrael. He's told two lashonos. He's told there to be gur ba'aretz hazois, and he's also told that he's going to dwell there. Now we know gur means to sojourn, and you actually dwell there. And the Ramban asks, "Is it, which one is it? Is it to dwell or is it to sojourn?" Without going into all the detail, the Ramban there says that I'll tell you the way that Rav Avraham Gurovitz explained it beautifully in his Sefer. He says there's a Gemara in Maseches Shabbos that with regards to the halacha on Shabbos of being mefarik, of dismantling something. Dismantling a building or dismantling something which I had built on its own would not be a melacha that I would be chayav for midoraisa on Shabbos because it's destructive action. There's nothing constructive that comes out of it. However, if it's soiser al menos livnois, if I'm demolishing with the intention to rebuild, then it's got something constructive out of the demolition. And therefore, I would be chayev. The Gemara's got a discussion there. One of them holds, you're only chayev if it's soiser al menos livnois bim koimai. If you're destroying in order to rebuild on that very same place. We know all melechas Shabbos are learned from the Mishkan. Where did that happen in the Mishkan? So he says, yeah, because in the Mishkan they would dismantle and then, but they always did it in a different place. So it comes out from the Gemara there. He explains that since they were al pi Hashem yachanu al pi Hashem yisol, they always travelled with the Shechina, so therefore it was always considered like in the same place. The Rebbe Avraham explains it beautifully. He says, if someone today had travelled today from London to Manchester, you ask them, where were you this morning? I was in London. I was in Houston. Where are you now? In Manchester. How did you come? You came by train. If you were able to ask a little baby who was being carried by the mother, where were you this morning? I was in my mother's arms. Where are you in my mother's arms? Where were you during that time? In my mother's arms. There was no change. There was no difference. I was always in my mother's arms. Kalal Yisrael, when they were in the Mibah, when they had a Mishkan, they were El Makomam. They were always in that one place. And that's what the Ramban means over here. What the Ramban means over here is that once we left Mitzrayim, we became the Amanivchar, we got the Torah, we then built a Mishkan, and then we were living on a Dargah where we were with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu transferred, Al-Pi Hashem Yachanu, Al-Pi Hashem Yisro. When it happens like that, when it's in that situation, then you've come Makomam, wherever you are, is Makomam, that's where you're meant to be.
You feel that Hodge Chesh for 400 years, according to Ramban.
Oh, so because it wasn't settled, it was moving from place to place. But there was an element of being content because we were always with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the stira, the paradox of how it. In Perek Gimel of this week's parasha, we have the famous encounter of Moshe Rabbeinu at the Sneh. So he's 80 years old. He's just about to be sent back to Mitzrayim. And he comes and he sees a burning bush. Just by Ravi, Koyin Midyon, by Yinagas Toynacha Amidbar. And beautifully the Kliyoka there points out about how so many of the leaders of Klal Yisrael were shepherds. And they weren't just shepherds, it was the care, the devotion that they gave to looking after their flock that afforded them becoming then leaders of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's flock because of their Ibigi Ibenkite. It's a beautiful Kliyoka there on Pasuk Aleph, Perigim of Pasuk Aleph. And the Malach appears to Moshe Rabbeinu in a flame of fire, mitoich hasneh, from within the sneh. Vayar, and Moshe Rabbeinu sees, v'hinei hasneh, boi rabo ha'ish. And the sneh, this bush, is burning in fire, v'hasneh, and ukol, but it's not becoming consumed. So vayomi Moshe Rabbeinu says to himself, osuro ve'ere es hamara ha'god hazeh. Let me just turn aside and have a look at this wondrous sight. Why is the snare not burning? And then Moshe Rabbeinu, for the very first time, has a nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the first nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayar Hashem kisor lirois, vayikro elov elokim mitoich hasneh, vayemeh Moshe vayemeh hinim. This is the first encounter. How did Moshe Rabbeinu afford this first encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, during which he's going to be given the mission to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim? What was it? So the Alter from Kelm, the Torah HaKadosh, very clearly tells us, Vayar Hashem, the Rebbeinu Shlomo was pointing out, and in the Torah HaKadosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, do you know what was impressive? Do you know what afforded Moshe Rabbeinu? His gadlus, that was a prelude. His Edelkeit, that was a prelude. His Avodas Hashem, that was a prelude. But what now? What did it? And the Torah is trying to tell us what did it so that we should know how to do it. Do you know what it was? And this was really perhaps what brought him to where he was today. Vayar Hashem kisar lirois. He saw something fascinating and he turned around and he had a look. And it was misspoken and it's something fascinating in the Bria. Now, if he hadn't ever thought about the Bria of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why would he stop to say, oh, there's a fire in a bush and it's not burning? No, okay, the sun rises in the east and it sets in the west. Sometimes there's clouds, sometimes there's not. The rain falls when it falls. If someone's not being misbeinin in the Bria at all, so when they see a change in the Bria, why should they stop to look? Vayar elik Hashem, and the Eibush just saw, and interestingly to note, yeah, it says over here, Vayar Hashem, and then it says, Vayikro elov elokim. He came to tell him, you know, I've seen, there was a change in the Lashon, but let's leave that for the meantime. He says over here, Vayar Hashem, the Eibush just saw, Kisar Lirois, that he turned around to have a look. So the altar from Kelm, that's a Chazal, the Torah Kedosha, Chazal pointed out, there was something of it, the effort that Moshe Rabbeinu took to step aside and have a look at something different, something unique, a change. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sending me a message. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us all messages the whole time. We have to be Sar Liros. It's through that that we open up that little Chudei Shamachat that HaKadosh Baruch Hu then allows us to see things that are so much more. Imagine Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't have turned around, said the altar from Kelm. Imagine he would have just walked straight past it. They would have gotten the opportunity for Moshe Rabbeinu to become the one to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. The Torah tells us, how did he have this Nevuah? How did he get the Nevuah during which he is told, you are going to be the one to take out Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim? It possibly would have been Aaron and not him. Because Kisar Liris. And that's, they said, the Altar from Kelm, a responsibility for every single Yid to realize, and not just the responsibility, but it's the opportunities that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us. But we've got to be misplaying. We see something that's unique. We see something that's strange. Listen to our messages. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending us messages the whole time, and we have to be sorry lyrics. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to him? He says, Vayomer, and he's saying, Al tikrav haloim. Don't come near. Just stay where you are. Okay. And then he says, Shal no alecha me'ar al raglecha. Take your shoes off your feet. Because the place that you're standing on is Admas Kodesh. In Toshin Samich Aleph, there was a whole group of people that went from America to different places in Europe. One of the places they went to was to Kelm. They had found where the Kevah Achim was in the forest outside of Kelm, and they went to designate a matzeva there and to say Tehillim and to say Kaddish. I think they also went and they redesignated a matzeva of the Chofetz Chaim at the time, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, and there were a lot of Rabbonim, Mashkichim, Rosh Yeshiva, together with Askonim, who went on this trip. And when they came to one of the places, I don't remember which one of the places it was, when they came to one of the places, Ramatio spoke, and he said, I don't know whether he said this of his own vault, or he said it in the name of someone else, but he pointed out over here a very interesting thing. The Torah tells us that the Rebbeinu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Al tikrav haloim, don't come near. Well, why not? Doesn't say. Al tikrav haloim, just don't come near. And then he says to him, Shal no alecha me'al raglecha, but take your shoes off your feet, ki amokim ashato imed olav admas kodeshu. Don't come near to what? That means don't come near to the snare, so stay where you are. Why did he, what is the reason he shouldn't come near to the snare? That the Torah doesn't say. What the Torah does say is, wherever you do stay where you are. For what reason? Unexplained. But where you are, take your shoes off, because the place on which you're standing is Admas Kodesh. See, there's two things going on over here. The first one is simple. You're seeing something that's a phenomenon that is out of this world. You're seeing a consuming fire inside one of the most flammable bushes, and it's not being consumed. That's Shechina. That fire is the Shechina. I'll take over it. Don't come near. I don't need to explain that. That's the Shechina. But I want you to know that the place that you're standing on as well has Kedusha. And for that, take your shoes off. How does the place that Moshe Rabbeinu is standing on have Kedusha? Just remember, the snare has the Kedusha. That's where the Shechina is. What about the place where Moshe Rabbeinu is standing? So he said, yeah, that also has Kedusha. You know why? The Rebbeinu Shem is telling him, the place on which you're standing is a place in where you have been misponing on Divrei Kedusha. That now has Kedusha. So take your Shal no alecha me'ar aglecha. I think it's Reb Chaim Volozhin who says that what he was telling him was a figurative description of something much more profound. Take your shoes off your feet, which means take the na'alayim, which is the cloak around yourself, which is, so to speak, the guf is in, or your neshama is closed inside and closeted inside dvorim gashmiim. Shal no alecha me'ar aglecha. Remove that. Allow yourself to be connected to kedusha and take your shoes off your feet. There is a very, I think it's the Bnei Yisrael that says that one of the reasons why we do wear shoes is because once the Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, so the Rebbeinu Shalom said, Orur HaAdama, the land's going to be cursed. You're not allowed to work, the land's going to be cursed. Since then, people have walked around wearing shoes to create a barrier between the ground, which was cursed because of us and ourselves. There's certain places where the ground is gebenched, it's not cursed. One of those places is the Beis HaMikdash. Certain people have kibbutz tzaddikim like that. They take their shoes off and they go inside the kibbutz tzaddik. That land is admas kodesh. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo said to him over here as well, this land is admas, over here you don't need to wear your shoes. This land is not cursed. But because of what? Because kisar niros. That's not the place of the kedusha. The place where the shechinah, that's al tikra alone. But where you're standing here, that you've got to realize that is something that's really, really special. And the Chofetz Chaim would say something even more profound in the name of the Vilna Gaon. Chofetz Chaim says, you know, often we look and we say, if I would be in that matzav, if I would be in that situation, if I would have only those certain tanoim, then I would be able to be an Eved Hashem, I'd be able to be a much better Eved Hashem, or my Eved Hashem would be so much more in tune with what I want it to be. Said the Chofetz Chaim, in the name of the Vilna Gaon, the Rebbeinu Shimon says to Moshe Rabbeinu, really tells us from the Torah, Ki ha-mokoim asher ato oimeid olov, the place on which you are now standing. And that goes to every Yid, in every generation, in every time. The place in which we find ourselves, that is our Admas Kodeshu. That's our place of Avodah. And if we say, based on what we just said before, that's the place where we need to have Hispanimus. The place, wherever we are, being Hispanim, I'm in this place, at this time, in this matzav, in this situation, that's my Avodah. And that brings Kedusha to the place that I am. Towards the end of the parasha, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes and he tells Paro, he says, you know, it's time to let Klal Yisrael go out of Mitzrayim, and all the fascinating Midrashim, which in previous years, and Be'ez Hashem come again in Pesach time, we can share again. In Perek Hei, Pasuk Dalad, Paro says, Vayimaleh menei Mitzrayim Moshe, Lama Moshe v'Aaron, Tafriya so'omim yas, why Moshe v'Aaron stopping the people and disturbing them from doing their work? Lechu, go back to your work, says Rashi. He's talking to them, to Moshe and Aaron. Go back to the work you need to do at home. The Shibud Mitzrayim wasn't on Levi. How do you know? They went in and out without Rishus. How did this happen? How did this happen that Shevet Levi were never included in the Shibud on Mitzrayim? So there's the Baal HaTosfos say that Paro accompanied Yosef and his family when they went to bury Yaakov in Eretz Yisrael, and he realized that there was obviously a tzavah of exactly how Yaakov Avinu was meant to be transported, because only his family carried him. But he also noticed there were two members of his family who didn't carry him. Two of his children did not carry him. There were 12 people carrying him. It was very clearly marked out, three on each side. But there were two who weren't. Yosef, okay, he's a melech. That's probably because of Kavod Amluch. Then there's another son, Levi. This Levi is not included. So he inquires and he asks people there, well, what's going on? Why is Levi not carrying? So they respond and they tell him, well, Yaakov said, one day there's going to be a Mishkan, there's going to be an Aron, there's going to be needed to transport. They're going to do that, therefore they shouldn't carry my coffin. Okay, so he's, it's interesting. Paro's got no idea what a Mishkan and an Aron and the Torah is. Oh, but okay, so Levi's not included. Look, he's obviously got some sort of, if the tzaddik, who they all respected, Yaakov Avinu, says he shouldn't be included, then he's not going to be included. Then Paro started to enslave Klal Yisrael. And Levi didn't show up. You know, Paro did this whole shtickle where he went out, and he started working as well, and he tricked Klal Yisrael into it, which incidentally the Orach Chaim HaKadosh says is why it was allowed for Klal Yisrael to trick Mitzrayim back and say, we need to go for 3 days in the Midbar. Yeah, there's the pasuk in the Gimel pasuk Yud Ches. They said Nelcho Derech Shloishes Yomim Bamidbar. So Orach Chaim HaKadosh, how can you lie? They had no intention of ever coming back. So he says, no, we were going for 3 days. We didn't say about when, and then we're not going to come back. We said, we're going to go for 3 days to the Midbar. How could we do that? It was part of, why did that happen, says our Chaim HaKadosh? It was all the Tachbuna to get the Mitzvah to chase after us to the Yam Suf. And that's why also we borrowed things from them. We didn't actually take it. The Maisa, once we had it in our hands, it was rightfully ours. Like, they owed us for 210 years of slave labor. So they anyway needed to give it to us. But had we not borrowed it, they would never have thought it was coming back. They would never have thought we were coming back. They wouldn't have chased after us. Why did they need to chase after us? To have the Yam Suf, to have the Midah Kenegah Midah being drowned in the Yam Suf. Ah, says our Chaim HaKadosh. So just drown them all in the Nile. Make the Nile suddenly, there's a tsunami of the Nile across Mitzrayim and you're done. So he says, no, but part of it was, he wanted to say, look, you tricked us into this Avodah, we'll trick you into your death. Mamish Midah Kenegah Midah. And that's the Chaim HaKadosh explains it. Beautiful in the beginning and the end. In the middle, he's got some extra that he adds in. So the Bali Tosa say that Paro, he said he started enslaving Kali Yisrael. Shevet Levi didn't come. All right, look, I'm not starting with the Shevet Levi. Yaakov Avinu also left them alone. I'm going to leave them alone. That was the background for why Paro didn't enslave. But when he says to them over here, L'chus L'siv L'Seichem, what he said to them was, and this is the Rishonim explaining, he said, L'chus L'siv L'Seichem, go back home and do your own work, but you should know, you're not getting any food, you're not getting any stipend, you're not getting any money from me. So Rabbi Elia Lapian said, how did Shevet Levi survive in Mitzrayim? They were closeted in Goshen. In fact, Chazal tell us they sat in the Beis HaMedrash all week. And when it came Shabbos, because when Rabbeinu had come up with this ingenious idea, he went to Paro and he said, you know, it's crazy, you're working these guys to the bone. If you don't give them a day to rest, then they're just going to, you're not going to have workers. He said, oh, fine, okay, you choose a day. Shetach, when Rabbeinu chose Shabbos. So what happened on Shabbos? Shevet Levi would come and spend time and be mechayed in the nefoshos of Klal Yisrael by learning with them Torah that had been taught by the others, that they continued to learn and be mechadish during the week. They would share that. They would have scrolls of things that were written on them, and they would other Torah that they had learned. They would share that with Klal Yisrael. There was mechayed the nefesh of Klal Yisrael on Shabbos. So Rabbi Elia Chazal tell us that during the entire time that Klal Yisrael were in Mitzrayim, they figured out a plan where they had a rota of people who would give from their rations to Shevet Levi so that they could during the week be able to sit in the Beis HaMedrash and learn whilst the others were working in the Shivud so that when it came to Shabbos they would all spend time together. So it's marvel to think about it. The Faginenkeit of the Yidden who were being enslaved, tortured during the week could have easily turned around to Shevet Levi and said, you don't do a stitch of work, you're going to get have our ration. But they understood that the whole chiyus that Klal Yisrael had, and the netzach Yisrael lo yeshaka, which is dependent upon Torah HaKadosha and transmission of emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which was from the Ovis and passed down, they appreciated and understood that that's the only way they're going to survive. And therefore they created this rota in order to be able to provide for Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Reuven Karelenstein, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, said he once had a yid from London who told him that years ago he was a Baal Yecholes who was able to support his children. And his children, he had sent them all off to various different kolim, and they were sitting and learning there. And he was starting to one day worry that, you know, it's fine, I can support my children, but what's going to be with my grandchildren? You know, how's the system going to work? So he said, this yid told him, he said, he went to a variety of different people. This one told him Emuna, this one told him Bitochen, this one told him, he said, none of them really satisfied him. He was still worried about, until he went into the Beis Yisrael. So he said to the Beis Yisrael, I daiga, because, you know, I can support my kids, but what's going to be for my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren? He said, the Beis Yisrael was the only one who settled him. And the Beis Yisrael suddenly jumped up from his seat and said, Meshigana, what's the biz? You're worried about 50 years' time. Well, you're worried for the Rabbeinu Shalom in 50 years' time. Leave him, you know, he's loads of things can happen in the next 50 years. He'll sort it out. But you need to be worried now about what's going to be in 50 years. Close up, it'll be fine. The Chavina Rav was once approached by some people in Eretz Yisrael who came to him when there was a serious lack of personnel and in the army, and there was a need for more soldiers. They came and they said, look, you know, maybe it's time that we started emptying the yeshivas and getting boys into the army. So the Shabina Rav sat down and he said, I want to tell you what this, a moshel of what this really tells me. He says, there was a Bala Gola who used to transport things from city to city, town to town. One day his horse just stopped going. Just wouldn't walk. So he said, you know what, my horse is obviously tired. It's not on. You know, so he took out his whip and he started giving his horse. It was a schmeiss. The horse, it's not going. said, okay, look, obviously the load is too much. So he offloaded half of the merchandise that he had on the back of his wagon, hid it on the side of the road, hoping that it wouldn't get stolen, and told him, you know, now sort of encourage the horse to walk. But he walked, but still very slowly. Obviously, no, the horse is not feeling good, so what am I going to do? And he said, oh, Junior, what's the heaviest thing on the load that's behind this horse? It's the wheels. Iron wheels. All right, take the wheels off. It'll be much easier to go. He said, you know, Be'emuna Shalema, we know, the Gemara in Menesechus Machlis from Daf Yud says, on the Pasuk, it says, the Pasuk says, Oidois hoyu ragleinu bisharayich Yerushalayim. So the Gemara there says, Mi goram le ragleinu sheyamdu b'milcham. Shari Yerushalayim shayu oiskim b'atayra. Esek HaTorah, and that's what they understood, that's what Rav Elie was saying, the people in Mitzrayim understood that the only reason they're surviving is because they've got Sheva Levi who are learning Torah for them during, and teaching it to them over Shabbos. So he said, that Shevin HaRav, that's what you want to do over here. That's what you want to take the wheels off. The only reason we have any survival is because we've got Torah learning in Klal Yisrael. We've got to ensure that continues. The only reason we ourselves survive is because we have Torah that we learn. And we've got to ensure that we're learning Torah during the week in order that we, and especially on Shabbos, so that we have the energy to continue. The Chassam Sofer had a Talmud, an Iluy, a fascinating tzaddik. He was called Reb Hillel Mikolmai. When he was a bocher and learning in Preshwar by the Chassam Sofer, the way it worked in those days is that people didn't really have where to eat or to sleep. The yeshiva didn't provide it. You learned in the local base of Medrash. You had kest, which was days that you got food by itself, and you slept on the bench in the base of Medrash. And he was Eluyisha bocher and a Masvin Noira. And often he would show up late to the place where he went to eat. And the people in Preshburg who looked after the boys there, they had a tremendous, they robbed the Chassam Sofer, and they had a tremendous harocha for him and his yeshiva and for Torah. But it was a little bit troublesome on the Yid who would provide for this bocher, this Hillel, that he just, you know, he had his own times. In Preshburg, the Balabat in Preshburg were very, very mesuda. They got up at a certain time, they ate lunch at a certain time, after which they had their siesta till a certain time, and then they did what they needed to in the afternoon, and then they had their mincha at a certain time, and their maariv at a certain time, and their dinner at a certain time. Everything was very, very, very mesudah. Suddenly here's a bocha who's coming to this mesudah digger house, and lunch is at 2 o'clock, and he shows up at 2:15, or 2:25, or sometimes 2:30. It wasn't working. By then they're meant to be already into their siesta, and it ruins the whole seder. But the harocha they had for this young prodigy was of, they saw this was someone who was omid legedula. One day, he got so fatigued in his learning, he completely suddenly realized, well, he suddenly looked at the clock, it was 4 o'clock. So he thought, look, I'm not going to go and eat, but at least I'm going to go and tell the Yid. He cares for me so much. Just tell him, tell the Balabais, I'm all right, I'm well, I'm alive, I'm okay, and I won't eat today, I'll eat tomorrow. So he went and he knocked on the door. The Balabais opens the door and he says, hey, what's with you? Where were you today? You okay? He says, yeah, I'm okay, I'm fine. So he says, look, you know, I've been holding this back for a long time, but I think it's time that I really let you know. It's not on what you're doing. You know, we look after you, we take care of your needs, we do everything that you need for you, for nothing in return. I'm all your parents, send a bit of money to us. We're not asking for that, we're not asking you for that. And we're happy to give you the food and to provide for you with all the things that you need. Oh, but a little bit of consideration. What's with you? I mean, you know, in Preshburg, everything works with times. You can't just show up when you want. Didn't say a word. And the Balabais was irate. It wasn't a personal thing. It was just irate that, you know, that he has his seder and his seder's not working. But he saw that it was getting no response from this young boy, so he loaded on a bit more and a bit more, and he was really angry with him. And then this Hillel knew that this was a person who appreciated Torah. He said, look, can I just explain to you something? He says, I'm really sorry. He says, I got stuck on a rushba, and it wasn't like I've done this on purpose, or I looked at the clock and it was late. He says, yeah, but we're looking after you. He said, no, that's what I want to just say. You're not looking after me. I think I'm looking after you. So that obviously he knew who he could say this to. The Balabai stopped for a second, looked at him, gave him a massive hug, and he said, you know what? You're right. come inside. Come and say, no. And now it's the matriarch to prepare new food for me. No. I'll eat tomorrow. Mashiach Zichron Yerachon, the last public address he gave in his life was at a dinner, a colonel dinner in Edra. And they asked him to speak. He said over one of his pet stories on this Indian. He said that Reb Eliezer Gordon was supported by his father-in-law after his chasna, so he was able to sit and learn and become the godel that he became. And his mother-in-law kept on telling the father, you know, he has man that he starts to fend for himself because we can't continue supporting him the whole time. And he said, no, it's fine. You know, Baruch Hashem, the Rebbe Hashem has given us the yichud, so let's carry on. After a bit more time, she said, you know, he has man, he's got to find either his own parnasa or rabbanos or something. We can't keep on supporting him. I mean, you know, there's a limit to how much we can support him. To which his shver responded to his wife, I'm not so sure whether he is supporting us or we're supporting him.
Sorry, who was this?
Reb Eliezer Gordon's father-in-law. So she heard. It didn't last long until again she came back and said, oh, you know, come on, it's time. Until she loaded on the pressure so significantly that eventually the shver sat down with his son-in-law and said, you know, Igiyah's man, you've got to take on some sort of position. And he did, and he moved out, and a very short while later, his shver was nifta. And the shver got that shiver, said, Vais t'choy, says Gven Gerech. He was right. Our son-in-law was supporting us, not us supporting him. The Torah HaKadosh supports us, in whichever sort of way. If we have the Yecholes to be Tomech in Torah, we should know that us being Tomech in that Torah affords us to be able to be Tomech in more Torah, and affords us to be able to, and Torah gives us life. Torah is Chayenu. Whether we're supporting Torah, whether we're learning Torah, that is our life. People in Mitzrayim appreciated and understood. There's no way that we're going to survive and prevail through Golus Mitzrayim unless we have Torah learning on our behalf and then with us. So they supported, with the meager portions they had, they supported Shevet Levi to be able to sit and learn throughout the week so that on Shabbos they were able to be Mishtatef and learn together. But that's what kept... And then and Moshe Rabbeinu, Yismach, when we say the Shabbos now we have, Yismach Moshe B'matnas Chelka. Moshe is a new, one of the Pshatim, Moshe Rabbeinu is happy with his Matnas Chelkei. What's his Matnas Chelkei? That in Mitzrayim he chose the day off to be Shabbos. So that his Shevet could teach Klal Yisrael Torah and reinvigorate them and give them that chiyus that they should be able to continue and to prevail. And that is really what our Shabbos is. Our Shabbos is an opportunity where in the Golos that we are in, we have a time and opportunity, little time take off, and today there's so much available for us to be able to engage in every area of Torah in a relatively easy way. But we've got to do that in some sort of way. We've got to have time set aside on Shabbos to re-energize, reinvigorate ourselves with words of Torah. And Be'ez Hashem, those words of Torah should then take us into the week, that we re-energize ourselves, that we continue with that during the week. But that's the mainstay. That's what kept Klal Yisrael going, and that's the only thing that's going to maintain us. Be'ez Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring the Geula Shema, that we should return El Mekoymenu, El Maris Avisenu, and here we are, Amen.